Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher. I'm a current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And one of the things that we need for creativity is empathy. It's at the heart of design thinking. It's a major aspect of just what it means to be a maker. And so we're going to explore in today's episode what it means to help students develop empathy. And I want to start with a story. A few days ago, my son said something that surprised me. He said, "Dad, we have the best cafeteria lady at our school." And I was like, "Wait, what?" And he said, "No, seriously, we have the best cafeteria lady at our school. She knows everybody by name. And not only that, she knows our order. So she knows what we're going to order before we even order it." And it was a reminder of the power of being known and the power of empathy and what it means to have adults in the lives of kids who show them empathy on a regular basis. But it was also just this reminder that there are so many people who work tirelessly and show empathy in their care for our students. Often the first person that kids will meet in the morning is a crossing guard who stands in the freezing cold to help ensure that students get there safely. Or a bus driver who braves the weather and the traffic and the hundreds of screaming kids just to get to school on time. It has me thinking about the aides who help guarantee that all students learn, and the custodians who transform the well-worn school into something beautiful, and the secretaries who keep the school running on a regular basis. I mean, let's be real, they pretty much run the school, right? I'm thinking about the nurses who respond not only to the small cuts and bruises, but to bigger medical issues as well, and who build relationships and take care of the whole child. I mean, there are so many hardworking staff members who make school work every single day. And that reminds me of something that happened to me a few years back. See, we had done this design thinking process. We'd focused on empathy within design with the students a bunch, and we'd done some activities where we blended together design thinking and service learning. And, you know, we'd done some really cool projects around the city and some larger global projects. And then a student, as we were talking about our next project, a student pitched an idea to me. She said, "What if we created something for the people who clean up the classrooms? Like, what's the name of the person who cleans our room?" Busted. I don't know, I answered after standing there in awkward silence. "Well, maybe you should," she said. And she was right. This was a wake-up call for me. For all the talk of empathy, I had failed to truly appreciate the person who served our school in such a very tangible way every single day. And so I learned her name. And for the next few weeks, I began to learn her story. And when I would show up every morning to a clean classroom, it was a reminder that there was a person behind that, a human, a face, a story. But this also became the start of a service project. A group of students gathered thank you notes from students all around, and they got gift baskets, they got things donated, they brought in items they'd bought at Walmart and the dollar store. And even though we were a Title I school in a very poor community, our students were crazy generous. So one afternoon, when they were done with the gift baskets, they put them out in the classrooms at the very end of the day when a lot of teachers had already gone home. I mean, I'm talking, it was late. We were working on a mural at the time. And my students were nervous about it. They'd put a lot of work into it, and suddenly they were scared. You know, what if these people don't like him? What if the gift baskets don't work? But then minutes later, we watched as a hardworking sweeper walked out with tears in her eyes. And she wasn't the only one. Several people came by to say thank you. And again, it was a reminder of the power of empathy. See, the quality of your creative work improves when you design with empathy in mind. We know that. When students begin with empathy, they're able to design the products and services and art that actually reflects the needs and desires of an authentic audience. The Stanford D School begins their design thinking model with empathy. And I love the way Tim Brown of IDEO describes it. He says, it's not us versus them or even us on behalf of them. For a design thinker, it has to be us with them. When we design from a place of empathy, it has the power to change the world. And yet, there's a danger in this kind of false empathy. It's the kind of empathy that happens outside of a relationship, when you don't really know the people that you're working with. It's the kind of empathy that occurs when people ignore injustice, when they don't pay any attention to power dynamics. And for me, it took a student with wide eyes who paid attention to the marginalized people at our school to notice the sweepers who cleaned our classrooms. She called me out, and rightfully so. And in the process, she called me out of my ignorance and invisibility. So how do we get there? How do we get to a place where our students are empathetic in their design? Well, I think there's a few ideas. I was recently talking to a few friends of mine who do a lot of work around the issues of equity in higher education. And I asked them what they thought it meant for empathy to be, you know, incorporated into teaching and design and creative work. And then I also posted this question to Twitter, and I love some of the responses I got on Twitter. I loved to see how people shared their ideas of bringing in fiction, of historical examples, of helping people to walk a mile in someone else's shoes, of building relationships, of paying attention to, you know, the social dynamics, and all of those things are true. Modeling it, showing people different ways. But what I'd like to share right now for you are 7 ways that we can make empathy a priority. So number 1 is, and I kind of alluded to this already, model it. You can help create a culture of empathy by showing empathy toward your students. Listen to them. Ask for their input in lessons. Encourage them to help create the class procedures and rules at the beginning of the year. Honor their agency by letting them choose the topics or questions. Use surveys to get their opinion on things. And then talk to them about how those surveys are informing your instructional design. But it goes deeper than that. The most empathetic teachers I know are able to apologize when they screw up. They're able to listen to students. They're able to wait before rushing judgment. They use restorative justice techniques even when people around them mock those things and laugh at it. Now, it doesn't have to mean that these teachers get soft or move into an anything-goes mindset. In fact, some of the people that I know who are the most empathetic teachers are also tough. They have high standards for their students, but they also know how to show empathy in their approach to their discipline and their teaching. Number 2, understand the role of silence. There's a fantastic post that's linked inside of this blog post from Jose Vilson. He's one of my favorite thinkers. And he writes about empathy and collaboration. And he talks about the role of silence and being willing to kind of wade into that silence. And I love the way he puts it. Learn to feel comfortable with a little silence if you don't get any response from a question posed. Sometimes we ask a question and don't get an immediate response. We want to jump in or worse, reproach the student for not thinking. But let's wait a second before we do that. How do we know that they're not thinking? Oof, that last line really resonated with me. Number 3, integrate it into all subjects. Teachers can integrate empathy into subjects like math and science, helping students see that these subjects are human-oriented. They're not void of context. They're not socially neutral. And when this happens, it becomes easier to focus on empathy in the design projects that we do as well. So the idea is that even when you're not doing a design thinking project, you can still be incorporating empathy into those lessons so that when they do design something, they'll have a stronger sense of empathy in what they do. Number four, embrace the power of story. Stories can be a powerful way to help students build empathy because they pull students from their context and help them see a new perspective. One of the things that I heard a lot from the people online was the role of having students read novels. But I don't think it's just novels. I also think it's historical stories, it's short stories, it's anything that links them to story. I think, you know, one of my favorite movies that I've seen recently is actually the new Spider-Man. And one of the kind of cool sides of that was watching the empathy piece come into that story. Watching you learn how the characters empathize with each other, but also helping you empathize with all of these superheroes. I did not expect that to be such a great movie. And honestly, go out and watch it if you haven't seen it. It is my favorite movie in probably the last 3 years. Number five, pay attention to the power dynamics. When students truly design from a place of empathy, they will run into injustice. It's important that we avoid glossing over the injustice or treating it as something that's easily fixable. This is why empathy in education needs to overlap with things like cultural humility and culturally responsive teaching. Number six, avoid the temptation to create for. And that's based on kind of Tim Brown's quote, but it's the idea that empathy needs to be two-sided. It needs to be horizontal. And we slip into a design for mindset. We're not actually showing empathy. We're showing pity. And that's not helpful. Number seven, admit that empathy is challenging. Empathy doesn't always come naturally to us. It's easy to have blind spots and to miss things. And for that reason, it's important that we talk to our students about the challenges that they're going to face in showing empathy. Now, I had a final thought on this before we move on. There are some great strategies in design thinking for building empathy. There are great structures. A day in the life is a great structure that I found to be really helpful. It kind of helps you to walk a mile in someone's shoes. There's the avatar concept of kind of getting some general trends and thinking about who your ideal audience is. There's the role of needs assessments and surveys that they can do. There's sitting down and having interviews and just hearing with people what they want. And all of those structures are helpful. But I think the structures won't work unless we do the groundwork ahead of time of these seven types of things first. Just having a structure for empathy isn't enough. We need to move to a place where we actually are developing empathy into the culture of our classrooms. The bottom line is this. The end goal of empathy is not simply better design or more creative students. Again, I am passionate about creativity, but that's not the goal. The goal is more empathetic makers or more empathetic humans. In other words, I want students to be empathetic not as a means to an end of better creativity, but as an end in and of itself. As a dad, one of my biggest hopes for my three kids is that they will grow into empathetic people. And I love the moments where they actually are demonstrating it. In a culture that often runs more snarky and cynical than empathetic or kind, I want them to choose kindness. I want them to care. In a social media environment that can easily devolve into hate and vitriol, I want to see my students show true empathy toward others. So in the end, this is not just about creativity. This is about humanity and the fact that we need our students to be more empathetic. Thank you for listening to the Creative Classroom Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, would you do me a favor and leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher? That would mean the world to me. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.